morning, everybody. How you doing? All right. Got a few things I need to just sort of set up. So if you haven't said hello to your neighbor, say hello to your neighbor. Say Happy New Year or some such. Does anybody have any dirty mugs? Any dirty mugs? Does anybody have a dirty mug or two? All right, wonderful. Thank you, sir. Excellent. Anybody else, dirty mug? All right, yeah, here we go. Very good. Any other dirty teacups, coffee mugs? Anybody else? I'd be happy to. Okay, that's good. All right. So this morning, we are going to use the idea of wilderness and camping, okay, to go and encounter John the Baptist. And to hear from John the Baptist, and Lord willing, understand something that he has to say, and then respond to it appropriately. So let's pray and ask God to help us in that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a new year. And we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, and we hear from John the Baptist, that your spirit would open our hearts and our minds to understand what you have had to say to us through him. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I like camping, I like hiking, walking, as we say here. I enjoy that. Now, one of the things that I struggle with in a camping situation is camp washing up. I like to wash up, that's okay. But here's what I find happens. You've got this nice, you've got your clean water, and then you start to put your dirties in there. And soon enough, your nice, clean water gets pretty grim, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, Beth and Tim Unwin's saliva gets in my clean water, and I've got to wash up. Now, I understand the general sort of science behind this, that if there's fairy liquid in here, that it shouldn't matter that there are these surface agents, allegedly they're called, that make it clean anyway. But I've got to be honest, I'm a rinser. I feel the need to be able to pour some clean water over that thing just to feel like, yeah, you know what? Now that's clean. Now all the dirt, all the gunk, all the stuff that's outside it and in it, now that's gone. I feel like this is a clean cup. If you were to take this mug, and even though it's bigger, and say, here you go, Peter. That's clean. I would struggle with that idea. Okay, I would struggle with that idea. Now, John the Baptist is a guy. Now, this is impressive. First of all, when we're talking about, I didn't bring a towel up. So I'm just going to have wet hands. It's cool. So John the Baptist, bold statement by Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, he says, no one born of man is greater than John the Baptist. Okay, well, John the Baptist, whatever he has to say, probably we should think about it. We should probably think about what he has to say. Now, the Gospel of Mark that we're just reading says that John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. Okay, now, John the Baptist at the Jordan River baptizing. There's something cool about that. We typically think, oh, this is just a bit of historical detail that allows us to know where and when this guy called John is doing his baptizing. But what would happen is a couple of times a year, particularly in the spring, for the Day of Atonement, and what's called the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, okay, Jews from all over the world would have to travel, hike, walk, ride a donkey or something, to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, before they would enter into the temple, okay, they would oftentimes have to baptize themselves. They would have to have some sort of a ceremonial washing that would cleanse them so that they could go into the temple and they could worship. Now the thing was, Jerusalem is on a hilltop. There's not a lot of running water, and they would have the different Jewish sects, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other people, would have their baptistries around Jerusalem. And it would be a place where people could ceremonially wash before they go into the temple. But the thing is, like me, they came to understand that if somebody got into this tub of water, or somebody washed themselves, well, whatever was unclean, whether it was dirt or whether it was spiritual uncleanliness, well, that got left in the water. And what they needed was some kind of moving water that would move over to properly cleanse them. And moving water was called living water. And so John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan River where there's living water. It's moving water. So that when people got baptized, they got dunked, immersed, dipped into the Jordan River, and they came back up, the current would carry away their spiritual uncleanliness. Which might be one of the reasons that the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea. Not just because not much lives there, but because all of the uncleanliness would pass down and gather in the Dead Sea, because it doesn't drain anywhere. Which might also be one of the reasons that the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah talk about a time when God would cause living water to spring up out of the temple, out of Jerusalem, and flow to the east and flow to the west and flow to the east down to the Dead Sea area and bring it life. Okay? The idea of this living water is it brings life. And John the Baptist baptized in living water. But he says, I've come to baptize you with water, but someone coming after me is greater than me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, before we think about this, let's get back to camping and hiking and walking and that sort of thing. As the Jews would travel to Jerusalem, they would go for the Day of Atonement, and then afterward is the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tents, Tabernacles. Okay? Now, when you're traveling, and you're traveling and you're camping, it's very important, you know, you keep all of the most important things in your rucksack, okay? And so, things that you can't leave home without, things that you're going to need overnight to keep you nice and comfortable. Oh, shoot. Okay, we'll put that one right there. You knew you weren't meant to see that. It's my wig out bag, you know, my bug out bag. And so just the things that I really need. And you'll keep your tent. Now, actually, Bunyan, James, and Ben, could you guys help me out with this, actually? While I explain the Feast of Tabernacles, could you guys just very quickly, could you pitch this tent? It's really pretty easy. If you can't figure it out, let's not worry about that. Let's just go ahead and see if you can figure out how to pitch that tent just right there in that area. There are two longer poles and a shorter pole. If you need help, Beth knows how to put this tent up. She's done it a couple times with the Fuel Surf Trip. Here, give me that yellow bit. That would just confuse you guys. It's okay. All right. So, it's the cover. So the Feast of Tabernacles, all right, well, the Day of Atonement celebrates that time when God delivered the people of Israel up out of Egypt, okay? And the Passover lamb was sacrificed, and the Day of Atonement remembers that. And it's when a lamb is sacrificed for all of the sins of the people of Israel, to cleanse the temple, to cleanse the tabernacle, to cleanse the people. And then after that deliverance up out of Egypt, we remember that the Israelites wandered around the desert for 40 years. Careful with that. 40 years. And during that time, they lived in tents. And so to remember that, and to remember the way that God had provided for them, after the Day of Atonement, the Israelites would live in these tents for like 7 or 8 days. And each day there was a little something different that happened. And this was called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. It's the kind of feast that Jews would be traveling from all over the world to Jerusalem to celebrate. And during the time of John the Baptist, So during the time of John the Baptist, it would have been for the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Booths that people would have encountered John the Baptist on their way to Jerusalem. And it's during the celebration of the Feast of Booths, and recorded in John chapter 7, that something quite interesting is said by Jesus.
He says, this is during the Feast of Tabernacles, John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
And here's the idea. Jesus is saying that this stuff that Isaiah and Zechariah and Ezekiel were talking about living water coming up out of Jerusalem and healing the nations and bringing life, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to accomplish that." And there might yet be a day when there is a spring that springs up out of Jerusalem and water literally flows through that land, bringing new life and new plants. Are you guys struggling with this? You guys got it? Look at, oh, this is cute. This is good. Here, let me give you this little help right here. If you kind of put that in there, then it will pop up. You see that? You see how that's going to work? No? All right, that's okay. If you guys, can you figure it out? All right, cool. All right, people keep on going. But there may come a day when out of literal Jerusalem, a spring pops up and water flows and brings life. But there's also a way in which the Bible talks about us as being the new Jerusalem. Believers in Christ being the new Jerusalem. The author of Revelation, John, talks about Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, as the wife, the bride of the Lamb. And we know that as a church, we are the bride of Christ, aren't we? And so what Jesus is saying, what John the Baptist is saying, and what Jesus is saying, is there's going to come this time, Jesus doesn't just clean us outwardly, He cleans us inwardly. He gives living water. And that living water, He fills us with His Spirit, and it overflows and brings life to others. And that's what happens through faith in Christ. That's what happens through faith in Christ. Last week, if you were here, we talked about knowing how to do God's will, being a light to the nations, showing the world what it means to be fully human, what it means to know God, to obey God, to live a life pleasing to God, united with God. And the issue is, it's not that we don't know right and wrong. It's that we just struggle to actually do it and not do it. It's not that I don't know the good things I'm meant to do and I don't know the bad things I shouldn't do. It's that for some reason I don't know how to keep my mouth shut. That bit of self-control. And the Bible tells us that self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if my mouth is going to speak good and not evil, if my mouth is going to bless and not curse, then what I need is a change of heart. What I need is the Holy Spirit to change my heart so that I then do it. I can tell these guys all day how to do the tent. They can figure it out. They're smart guys. Eventually they'll get there. But they're nearly there. They're ever so nearly there. I may have misled you. I think if you exchange the one on the one nearest Ben with the one that's in James's hand, are they the same?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, keep on going. Keep on going. But this is so fun. But they can be told, but they need to do it themselves. And it's, this is great. I didn't think it would take this long, I've got to be honest. No, I didn't think so. That's all right. We're nearly there. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just leave it like this for now. Okay? Because we're about done. And I thought, yeah. But hey, guys, it's upright. I should have asked some of the children. I'm playing. I'm just teasing, guys. That's good. That's good. But no, the point being, no one born of man is greater than John the Baptist, according to Jesus. And according to John the Baptist, there is no one greater, period, than Jesus. Because through faith in Christ, Jesus fills us, cleanses our hearts, cleanses our minds, cleanses our consciences by His Holy Spirit, and causes His Spirit to flow out from us to be light to the nations, to bring life and healing to our world as we wait for Jesus' return. So let's hear these words of John the Baptist. Let's understand these words that God has told us through John the Baptist. Let's honor them by placing our faith in Christ. And then, let's do other people the favor that John the Baptist has done for us and say, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He will baptize you. He will cleanse you. He will fill you with His Holy Spirit to change you, to transform you, to make you more like Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love for us and how You have continually communicated to us through Your prophets, by Your written word, and through Christ Himself, who You are, what You are like, and how we can know You, how we can know Your love, how we can be in relationship with You, and how we can be changed and transformed by Your grace and by Your goodness because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in living, dying, raising again, and ascending up into heaven. Jesus, we look forward to Your return. And as we wait, we pray that Your Spirit would be working in our hearts and our minds. Thank You for the cleansing that we can have from our guilty consciences through You and by Your Spirit. Thank You that You who have begun this good work in us are faithful to carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we experience this cleansing and transforming power of Your Spirit in our lives, we would join John the Baptist and the millions of others throughout time and history who have pointed to You, Jesus, and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He will baptize you. He will cleanse you with His Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we do that, Spirit of God, that You'll be working in people's hearts and minds, drawing them to repentance and faith, so that Your kingdom would grow, Your name would be known, and we would all worship You, people from every tongue, language, tribe, nation, people, ethnicity, worshiping You, Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the crucified, risen again, and glorified Son of Man. It's in His name we pray. Amen.